Verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he will take of mine and show it unto you. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired word of God, that we can open it up and we can hear from you immediately. And Lord, we thank you for the ability to live in a country where we can gather together, where two or three are gathered together in your name. You said you'd be there in the midst, you'd bless. And Lord, a few of us are gathered together in this building, some there at home. And you can bless in two places at one time, multiple places.
Yes.
So we pray wherever there's two or three gathered together in your name tonight, that you'd be in the midst as you promised you would. Convict, convert, comfort, heal, bless. Speak, Holy Spirit, because you said that he would speak of you and yours. And so tonight we pray if there's one lost that's listening, they would be convicted and converted by the Holy Ghost of God. And those who are saved, Lord, if they're lonely or if they're backslidden or something's in their lives hindering them, Lord, we pray you'd set them free by your Holy Ghost power. And then tonight, help me as I try to preach. Keep it simple but profound. And then somehow, some way, you'll get the glory for it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. He's about to leave. He's about to go to the cross. He's trying to get them ready. They haven't listened much to him earlier about this, and he's trying to warn them now. They're not really listening now. And he says, I must go. I've got to leave you. I've got to. He said, because if I don't leave you, then the Comforter cannot come. Now, the reason he said that, Jesus was on the outside of them, working with them, but the Holy Spirit would be inside of them. And that's where real comfort comes from, inside. And he said, the Comforter is going to come. And I want you to notice what he said he's going to do when he comes. He said in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him. I want you to know it's him, not it. Him, he's part of the Godhead. Him. And there must be two of them because Jesus is talking and he says, him is going to come. Some of these Pentecostal groups, they say there's only one, Jesus only. There is no Trinity. Well, Jesus was talking about a him that was to come. That's two of them right there. And then he said, my Father's going to send him. That's three of them right there. So I don't know where they get theirs at, but I get mine from the Bible. And he said, I've got to go so I can send him. Now, verse 8, he tells why. He said, now when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That means he's going to correct it. He's going to straighten it out. He's going to tell them about it. He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, he said. Now, a root problem in the world is unbelief. And the other sins are products of that unbelief.
That's right.
If you got a cherry tree, it produces cherries. Apple tree produces apples. An unbeliever produces unbelief. And unbelief is sin because it calls God a liar. If you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care what the Bible says. Don't care what God says. I know what I think. Then you're calling God a liar. That's sin. And because of the sin of unbelief, then all those other sins come in because of unbelief. They're just fruits of that tree of unbelief. But he said, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see him no more. Now, only the righteous can go to the Father. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's the old devil. He's already judged. He's already condemned. There's not going to be a judgment for him. He's already judged. And God's already done that. We don't have to do that. So he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you believers. And here's what he's going to do. So I got thinking about that, and I found some other verses to go with that. I always like to see what the Bible says before I see what Dr. So-and-so says. And the Bible usually teaches it a lot better than Dr. So-and-so anyway. And so I want you to turn, if you will, to John chapter 20. It's just a few little short chapters over. Skip over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Look at verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. Verse 30 says he did all these signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But verse 31 he says, but these are written. What? These signs he did, these wonders he did, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that you believe in, ye might have life through his name. And then, if you will, turn over to Romans 10:14. Most of you already know it. When I read it, you'll remember it. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Number one, the Holy Ghost of God convicts us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that we're sinners, and without a preacher, he's the first preacher that you'll ever hear will be the Holy Ghost of God. You know, I get up here and preach against chewing gum, and there's some people would say I was condemning them to hell because they don't hear the chewing gum part. They only hear part that they're sinners, and I'm not the one telling them that. It's the Holy Spirit that tells us that we're sinners. I could preach against anything, just name anything, and preach, get up and preach against it, and all the lost sinner would hear from the Holy Ghost was, your problem is you need to be saved. Your problem is you need to be saved. Your problem is you need to be saved. It doesn't matter what I preach, what the Holy Ghost preach. And he's the first preacher that is going to convict you of your sins. We got a wonderful young man comes here now, his name's Kenneth. Ken's got his heart right with God. I had the pleasure of baptizing him. And wonderful, wonderful young man. Now he's taking Bible college classes online from Brother Ronnie Simpson's Bible College. And I noticed the other day on Facebook, he had put a comment on one of my sermons, Brother Billy. And he said something like, now I can listen to you. I'm not scared of you. He said, I used to be afraid of you when I first started coming. I was afraid of you. And I told him, I said, son, you wasn't afraid of me. You were afraid of what I was saying because the Holy Spirit was saying amen every time I'd say you need to get right with God. The Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and say, the preacher's right. You need to listen to him. Because, see, while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's on a lost person's shoulders saying, listen, that ain't even working. Listen, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Now, that's not the pastor, the preacher does that. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. Amen. So, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts us of sin. Number two, the Holy Spirit, Psalm 34, verse 18, Psalm 34, verse 18. And since Danny ain't here to fix air conditioner, I think I'm going to have to do it myself. It won't go off. Amen. One of these days we'll have the right kind of air conditioner. Amen. All right. Psalm 34, look at it with me, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, over in Romans 10, most of you know this, Romans 10, verse 13, he says this. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy what? Heart. Well, you got to have a contrite heart before you can believe. And shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, it's got to be a contrite. You can't have a proud heart and a boastful spirit and all that and get this, see. And said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, he convicts us, but he don't stop there, see. When he convicts me, he speaks to my heart. That's what he deals with. He doesn't deal with my mind. See, my mind is carnal. My mind is grew up carnal. It's fleshly. My mind desires the things of the world. God has to speak to the inner man, the heart. And when God, the Holy Ghost, convicts you, where does he convict you at? Your heart. See, I'd argue with the Bible. I'd say, that's just a book of fairy tales. Men on drugs wrote that thing. I read a little bit out of Ezekiel, the spinning wheels, and I thought flying saucers and all this stuff, you know. And I said, that's just a fairy tale. That's just a bunch of made-up stuff. It ain't real. But that day that that preacher preached the Word of God and the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sins, he touched my heart, not my head. He touched my heart. I couldn't argue with that. Yep. I'm sitting there going, you remember how it was? Yeah, amen. And I'm sitting there, he went. And I'm sitting there, and I get heavy in my chest and just can't breathe real good. Y'all remember that? In my heart, and I found myself crying, and I didn't think men cried, and I found myself crying and weeping. And see, the Holy Ghost of God, first he'll convict you of your sins in your heart, and then he can deal with your head. Once he gets your heart right, he can get your head right. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, you think it's some powerful preacher that came in and preached a great message. Well, there's several things wrong with that. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And God chose the weak things to confound the mighty. Amen? And so you can't blame that on the preacher. He can talk to your head, and whenever you listen with your head, you get mad at the preacher. He's talking about me. Somebody done told him everything about me. Yeah. That dirty, rotten, hypocrite of a preacher. He's pointing right at me. He could have been pointing over there. But you thought he was pointing right at you that day you got saved. Every time I looked over, I was pointing right at you, wasn't it? Amen. But now you see, you can argue with your head, but when he talks to your heart, there's no arguing. You know, only God could do that. That's God, the Holy Ghost. So he convicts you. And then after he convicts you, he converts your heart. He turns your heart around. What you're on the inside. And then that'll turn your head around. See? I walked in that church, Brother Billy, thinking one way and walked out another way. I walked in that church, March 5th, 1978, about a little bit before 11 o'clock. And I was a liberal, socialist, Democrat. Yeah, I was. I was all those things. I believed in flying saucers. Green men was going to come get us again one day. Y'all remember? We sang that kind of stuff. But I walked out that day an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, born again. Amen. Born again. Because I had a new heart, now I had a new mind. Amen. And see, God the Holy Ghost does that. He convicts you. And then he draws you. And when he draws you and touches your heart, once you accept that and receive Jesus Christ in your heart, isn't that what it said? Believeth in his heart?
Yep.
Now, once he gets your heart, then he can get the rest of you. But the problem with most church members is they need an 18-inch conversion. Six. They need to get it out of their head into their heart. Amen. They know all the doctrines. They know once saved, always saved. They know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. They know all, they know John 3:16. They know all the hymns. Thank God I didn't know him. I didn't know her. All I knew is I was lost and going to hell. I needed a Savior because he touched my heart and then he converted me. That's what the Holy Ghost does. You ask people, you say, well, are you saved? They say, well, I believe Jesus is the Savior. And the next question I asked, I said, well, do you know for sure if you died you right now, you go to heaven? And a lot of them will say, well, my mama prayed with me on her knee. Well, you know, I grew up in church. And I'm thinking to myself, you ain't never had a conversion. That's your problem. Amen. And we wonder why they look like the devil and act like the devil. I'll tell you why. Because when the Holy Spirit convicted them, they did not let him convert them. James said, you believe in God. So what? The devils believe and they tremble. They smarter than you are. You know why? They don't need a conversion. They've seen what the Holy Ghost can do. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us and then convert us. And then I want you to notice this, Philippians 4:7. Most of you already know this, but I want you to think of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity, or the second, however you want to name it, and think of him as one of the three, and that he is God. He's God. Yes, he is God.
Yes, sir.
And he has a part in your conversion. He has a part in your comforting. He has a part in your life. He is a he. He's not a it. He's not a thing. He's not just some Star Wars force floating around out there waiting for you to tap into. He is God. He's a person. You can talk to him. I walked back yonder a while ago. I said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me tonight. I'm kind of dry. I need some help, Lord. I can't preach without you. Help me, Holy Spirit. Talk to him. All right, now. So he convicted you. Then he converted you. In Philippians 4:7, he says this. In verse 7, he says, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can't explain it, much less understand it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Since the Holy Spirit deals with the heart, he's the one that keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, turn to John 14 again. Go back to 16 and then flip back a page or two to John 14. That is, if you have a King James Bible. If you don't, I don't know where you're going to flip. Probably going to flip out. But John chapter 14, I want you to notice this. Verse 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know. And the way you know. Well, how would they know? Because the Spirit lives in them. That's how they would know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send a comforter to you, a comforter who will help you and lead you and guide you and teach you in all truth, and you don't have to be comfortless just because I went away, Jesus said, because God, the Holy Spirit, will be here with you, and he's going to treat you just as good as I would have treated you. You don't have to be a comfortless. Amen? And he said, so don't let your heart be troubled. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart. The Holy Ghost converts your heart. That converts your mind. And then on your Christian walk all the way to that long valley of the shadow of death, he will go with you, and he will comfort you. Ain't that what he said he's going to do?
Sir.
To convict, to convert, and to comfort. Now you listen. He will comfort you. A lot of people are looking for comfort in all the wrong places. And I'm going to shock you. It's not even in the local church. It's not in the pastor. Comfort is in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who meets us at the local church, local pastor, who is taught by your mom and dad if they're right with God. The Holy Spirit comforts you like nobody else can do it. You can't buy it in a pill or a bottle or a powder or rolled up in some kind of paper or out of a can. The comfort of God comes by the Holy Spirit and Him alone. There's no comfort in this world. There's no comfort of the things of this world. There's no comfort. It's His job to comfort you. And how does He comfort you? He starts with your heart. What do we say whenever we get hurt? I got a broken heart. I got a broken heart. They broke my heart. That broke my heart. And so what does the Holy Ghost do? He comforts our heart, which comforts our mind, and then we can have the right spirit. Now, most people think the Holy Spirit is something that's floating around, and He's out there somewhere. And if you'll pray long enough and hard enough and deny yourself of enough things, that eventually He'll come down and give you some kind of shaking experience, and you'll say, labba-dabba-dabba-doo, you know, and some kind of unknown jabber, you know. And that way it proves to you and everybody else that you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Well, Jesus didn't teach any of that, not any of that. He said, I'm leaving so He can come. He didn't say if you pray Him down. He didn't say if you speak in tongues. He didn't say if you drink poison, don't die or take up serpents. No, sir. He said, I'm leaving so the Comforter can come. And you're going to need comfort more than anything else, He said. Yeah. And comfort is of the heart. Now, sometimes we say this, Brother Billy, maybe we shouldn't. We say, have you invited Jesus into your heart? And people make fun of us for saying that. But according to this doctrine right here, that's true. That's where the Holy Ghost deals with us, in the inner man, the heart. Not this thing that pumps, but the heart, the center of a person. And we invite Jesus Christ to come into our heart, our center, our being. We invite Him to come in. And of course, He comes in by the Holy Spirit Himself to abide in us. And then not only does He convict me, not only does He convert me, not only does He comfort me, but He commands me. He commands me. There's some plain commandments in the Word of God that God commands me and you to do, and He does that by the reading of the Word and the application by the Holy Spirit of God, because He speaks to our heart. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. Those are commands. But the Holy Spirit gives that command through the Word of God. And that way God will allow us to hear Him through His Word. That's it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to read that again. I want to ask you a question. Go back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, if you will. I got to find it myself. John chapter 16. Now, I want you to look at verse 5, if you will, and I'll quit. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you askest me whither goest thou, because I have said these things unto you. Sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, and if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them, bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. In other words, he's interpreting the word of God, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the question is, do I know that? Have I ever experienced the Holy Spirit dealing with me? Have I ever experienced him teaching me? Have I ever experienced him convicting me? Have I experienced him converting me? Have I ever experienced him comforting me? And if you haven't, I'd say you might ought to check up. See, a lot of people, the only experience they have with God is some kind of picture of Jesus they got hanging on the wall, and he ain't in that picture. Or some kind of crucifix they got hanging on the wall with him still hanging on it dead. He's not on that cross. He's alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he sent the Holy Ghost of God to convict us and convert us and comfort us and command us. And we need to recognize that it's God is doing that. He's called the Holy Ghost in us. And I'm afraid a lot of people just don't know. They don't know. I don't know why they don't know. When I first got saved, I automatically knew there was something different about me. And the more I read the Bible, the more I realized that there was something in me driving me and convicting me and comforting me. And I couldn't explain it, but I knew there was something there. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Meet the Holy Spirit. Thank God he sent him. What would this world be like, Devin, if we didn't have the Spirit of God in us to convict us, convert us, and comfort us, and to command us? We'd be in big trouble.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight, my question to you or anybody else that hears this, have you ever been convicted, converted, comforted, and commanded by God through His Holy Spirit that, number one, you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The preacher's been preaching to you. His name's the Holy Spirit. Then you receive Him into you, and He becomes your counselor and your comforter, and He becomes your commander. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for Him. And I hope you know Him. If you don't, tonight I wish you'd meet Him by asking Jesus Christ to save you, and He'll send the Comforter to you, just like He did to us.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your inerrant, inspired Word.